Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 24th of May, 2020. And once again, as always, I hope that you're all doing as best you can. So what else can I say? As best as you can. Because that's all any of us can actually do under the circumstances. Living in this big agenda-driven society that we have very little say in, especially when we keep quiet. And that's the problem with society. Too many folk today just keep quiet and go along with it. It's not unexpected. That's the way it pretty well has always been. And I've mentioned before that Aldous Huxley went through it in a similar form because he talked about suggestible people and the percentages of primary suggestible people who would go under whatever they're told immediately under the spell of it, and using techniques like Bernays laid out way back in 1920s and 30s and 40s. And Huxley was giving his talk to Michael Wallace in the 1960s, I think. He mentioned a certain percent of the public would go under immediately to suggestion put out by authority. And they'd buy whatever they were told to buy or behave the way they're supposed to behave, even read what they were supposed to read, magazine-wise and so on, by advertisers. They fell for it very quickly. And he said that... But then there's a percentage that simply don't go under the spell right away. But you can get another 10% under quick if you give them more and more reinforcement of the suggestion. Oh, come on now, just try it a bit longer and you'll find that it'll work. And just coach them a little. And sure enough, they'll eventually succumb to it as well. And that's really, that leaves a small percentage that can be hypnotized and brought under through the direct suggestion by authority figures. And that really goes by, in today's society, the behaviorists know, they're taught this kind of stuff, how to manipulate us all. And in fact, a lot of your tax money goes into funding the big paychecks and the studies from the neuroscientists and behaviorists and psychologists that make their money like parasites off of us, so that they can basically manage the host that they feed off, which is all of us, of course. And we put up with it. We put up with it. And that's a sad thing to me, very sad. Folk aren't ticked off a little bit about how they're managed and manipulated. And as I say, we pay for all these studies through our tax money so that we can be used, basically. We're looked upon as cattle. And unfortunately, and I've met lots of the people in the sciences of behaviorism and psychology that work in these kind of fields, and like the behavioral insights teams that work across the internet, managing your thoughts and what you should be looking at and don't look at this, and even shaming you and all that stuff. All paid by our tax money, big fat salaries, and I see them in the same category as the KGB or the Stasi would be. I really do. I lump them all together, these people who are manipulating our minds and our thoughts and using all dirty tricks to try to make us do what they want us to do. They're disgusting people. They really are. And that's society. So we shouldn't really put up with it, but again, most folk do. And they know that, the exact percentages that go along right away. We're living through, as I say, an agenda. It's an agenda-driven society. And I used to give talks on that, how even in the 1800s, the big corporations of the day, even before that too, had their 100-year business plans, sometimes longer than 100 years. They knew exactly where they wanted to be at least 100 years in the future. Like the going back even further to the old East India Trading Company, and how they set out their settlements of countries they would take over and fight, and use the military in Britain to do the fighting for them. So private corporations always have been in bed with the Bank of England, and that's what created the British Empire. The bank, of course, would lend to government to pay for the armies and so on, and then the government would quite happily give them the right to tax the public to pay back the loans, and that's never changed to this day. That was a prototype that eventually America, too, would copy with its Federal Reserve System, and which, again, is private banks, a collection of private banks. It's not really national at all. In fact, foreigners generally run it. They're not American citizens. It's quite amazing but that's another story altogether. But anyway, getting back into what I'm saying, most folk in today's society, as you know, and I keep mentioning it since this whole thing started, I go back to the idea of terror. We're in a war of terror. This is a reign of terror upon the public. They always use this in a revolutionary time. They did it for the French Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution. They always have a reign of terror to absolutely petrify the public into compliance. And that's what you're living through now, if you haven't figured it out. They also used it with 9/11, the Pearl Harbor event that they just miraculously got for the PNAC group. So it's the same thing, and that lost a whole bunch of rights for the American people and the people of the world too. They copied and followed suit. And this is a part two of that part one again. Part one, the towers, part two now, the corona. And here we go again. But it's based on terror, which is like a bad horror movie. You'll still watch it because you're tuned to trying to survive. It's a primitive part of the brain and the limbic system. And that's what is your fight or flight system is based upon that too. And even though it's a bad movie, you identify with the characters are getting chased or hunted or about to be eaten or whatever it happens to be. And if you look away, you see, you'll miss a clue. You might miss a clue that's going to be vital for your survival or your failure. And so you keep watching it. And that's what they're using daily and have been from the beginning, with the complete on board of all media with this whole war of terror, repeating the same horrific things to the public. You're all going to die unless you take a vaccine, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people who keep tuning in every day to get their dose of terror in case, again, they miss that one bit of information that might one day come across that's going to be vital for survival, they keep tuning in for the next bit of fear, you see. If folk haven't figured out by now, this is all incredibly well coordinated from the very, very top to bring in a new system. We can quote the facts until the cows come home. If there's any meat left at all or milk to drink, the time this is finished. But the thing is, facts don't matter. If you haven't noticed, you know, unless you really drive them home with something else behind it, you must put demands behind the facts, like get off our backs and stop this nonsense and let's get on with living, you see. Because if you don't, you're into the whole agenda. The whole agenda was designed, a brand new type of agenda of a total lockdown of the public, including the healthy people, never been done in history. Goes against all common sense, even for herd immunities, you see. And folk who are testing positive for antibodies to this, meaning they've had it, or they could have had, by the way, so vague now, they're getting so confused with their own studies and counter studies, etc. You might prove positive if you even had flu shots in the past. And these are official. I'll bring it up tonight, official stuff about this too. So they can't say this as lies since they put it out themselves in previous years. But if you prove positive, they've got two choices now, you see. They want to lock you down again, you, for testing positive, and then find everybody you've been in contact with. Because being positive doesn't mean you've still got the darn thing. It's residues to the RNA, actually. It's residues. It's fragments of dead viruses and so on. They're still around. They're everywhere. And that's what these tests for the swabs are designed to pick up on, you see. It doesn't mean you've still got the thing. And if you get a factual proper, there isn't even a proper laboratory test really for the antibody, because it doesn't mean it's the antibody for that exact coronavirus. You understand? They're trying to make it out that they're so precise. They're not precise at all. I've spent so many years going over false information that was touted at one time as the holy truth from the very top, only be discounted years later by, subsequent research has found that, blah, blah, and then they go the opposite direction. And they never go back and say, oh, we're very sorry for giving you all that false data before. That never happens. They never apologise. Because they start to apologise, the public might start thinking, well, wait a minute, maybe they're wrong quite a lot at the time. So they can't go there. They just go on to the new normal and repeat it as though they'd never had a previous new normal, you see. And that's really what it's all about. That's how it's done. I can remember one of the biggest companies in Canada that took the blood supplies and for tests and sputum and all the other different tests that they did for different things, stools and everything else. A massive company. And again, these companies get big contracts put out by the federal and provincial governments. I think they're all through the states too. But they found out that there's so much scams going on that literally about half of the results were fake, false positives, and no matter what they were testing, and false negatives. Meaning they were just making the darn stuff up as they went along. A lot of them were definitely doing that. I have no doubt too that the technicians, lab technicians, had pressure put on them by their bosses. Because it's all bonus time, isn't it? The more you ram through, the better it is for them all, you see. Until credibility goes out the window and honesty with it. And that's pretty common, by the way. We live in a very corrupt society. Very corrupt society. So anyway, they lost the contract and some other big company got it. And I wouldn't be surprised if the same thing's happening now, you see. But having a false or a positive, I should say, to an antibody, really, an antibody that would fight it, you see, is very iffy at the best. When they say that it might not be the right antibody. Well, what do you mean? Make your mind up here. And then they'll say, well, we can't say that it'll last very long, this antibody. Well, nobody can until you study it for years down the road. And I've seen virologists already, or heard virologists, top ones too, some of them saying if you've got an antibody to this thing, you've got it for life. Other ones will say, are parting the same phrase, well, you might only have it for 2 to 3 years before it dies off, you see. That's how it goes. And that's something, of course, the vaccine companies, a massive industry, of course, incredibly lucrative industry. Especially right now when they're throwing trillions around the world here and the hands are all out for studies and to all oddball kinds of things. But when you think about it, the whole idea of repeat vaccination is because your antibodies might not last long enough until the next outbreak of whatever it happens to be. But 3 or 4 years down the road, this particular one won't be around. It'll be mutated into something, some other strain, you see, or many strains. And then they go back to the old idea, you might have crossover if a vaccination doesn't work, it might be similar enough to give you crossover. This is the trick that they try to use to keep taking vaccines for flu, for instance. If that was the case, you'd have crossover. Well, whatever the original flu ever was many, many, many years ago, right? Then you would still have a crossover to that one too, so that doesn't work at all. So the whole idea of crossover is out the window. You generally have to have that exact right one or not at all, you know. But don't forget, we have, again, the flu types every year, and most of the time you never know you've had it either. It passes through your system, just like polio passed through the system of most folk in the 1950s. 40s and 50s, and folk never knew they had it unless they had some problem where it would settle in to a particular, definitely injured areas in the body. It would settle in and cause the problem sometimes. So, and for the young children, they've never found out why some of them stayed with some and not the others, of course. And that's very debatable too, that whole thing. There's a whole lot more information we have today. As I say, this is a massive... haven't you noticed, and this is what really struck me initially, was the all-for-one and one-for-all parroting of every supposedly public figure in the health industry that was put on television. I saw only through the computer, I didn't see the TV ones, but it's really taken from TV, all these little clips and so on. And no matter what country it was, the ones who were put in charge of health, you didn't need them. You didn't need them at all, because it didn't matter what they looked like. They all had Fauci's voice. They all said exactly what he said. Exactly what he said. The same as the WHO, of course, this big clique at the top that had pre-planned this. Obviously, their response to this, because right off the bat, they never went anywhere near, the fact that your body would probably have a develop an antibody to it. Didn't even know from the very beginning. It was every, and it's still the same, by the way. You've got to get a vaccination for this, and then only then will we let you out of your houses, and only then will we let you go to work. Now, this was right from the beginning, folks. At the very top, you've got a clique here who are so compromised in vaccine industry and massive handouts and multi-million, even billion-dollar industries for it looks worldwide, to go worldwide. They're all in it together, aren't they? They really are. And I said, too, eventually, if they don't back off from their threats of what they're going to do to the public, I said they'll lose all credibility. And when that starts to happen, when they start losing credibility, tyrants, and this is the key to it, tyrants then get really heavy-handed and nasty and lethal towards the public. That's what you learn through history. Where, especially when they're in the wrong, they won't back off. And the pledge to go ahead with something, because nothing's going to break this agenda, they'll get vicious towards the public. That's the dangerous thing, because they can't ever back off. Because the information that's coming out now has got enough to put lots of them on trial already for what's happened. The mistakes can be forgiven, but when they're complicit and heavily involved with huge shares and so on, and some of them even own vaccine companies. I mean, hey, wait a minute here. This is looking rather suspicious. And the more suspicious it looks, the more angry the perpetrators become, and the more vicious they become to those who are exposing them. That's a dangerous time. And that goes for the complicity, too, of those in governments. They know it, too. They know it. And that's why they'll stick together till like one for all and all for one till the end. Huh? Because there isn't just money here. It's a complete new way of living throughout the future. The high-tech industry, the Rockefeller plans for the future, basically, they came out with too. Projections for the future, the scientific system of tracking and tracing everybody in a whole new way of living. Yeah, and the real kibosh on anything to do with any traces still left over of personal freedom and privacy, to completely eliminate that for the average people. And that's what they want to be unfurled, of course, the whole futurist phenomena. Years ago, it's boring to me because I did talks on the futurist societies and how they work with the behaviorists on behalf of the masters that run the world. And yes, you do have masters that run the world, and it isn't just the deep state, that's one term for it. The deep state really is more of the working, the worker bees that make it all happen, the real technocrats. Fauci technically is a technocrat. I'm sure he's involved with high decision making, but he's not the boss at the very top. He's allowed to take his big fill and his money bag from all the different things he's got his hands into, but he's not the boss. And I'm sure too, all these characters that you're seeing I've got high intelligence clearance, for the agencies, probably CIA, every one of them. Because it isn't just the media they completely took over long ago, the CIA. It's every main industry and technology, including especially media, today, with those in charge of vaccine companies and all the rest. Why do you think that they're completely, they've been made, you can't sue them? Why do you think that is? As we're just private corporations. And so far, the presidents and prime ministers come out with declarations that they can't be sued, but they want to stick their stuff into you, directly into your body, which is an invasion. Anything that goes through the skin is still called invasive surgery, believe it or not. It's penetration into your bloodstream. Even if it goes into the tissue first, interstitial tissue, makes no difference. This goes into the bloodstream. That's the whole point of it. And the people who, if it's going to get mandated, you better believe everyone who's mandating this better have their name on the form so you can sue them if anything goes wrong. And it often does go wrong. But as I say, isn't it astonishing that from the very beginning, and that didn't raise the hackles in anybody's heads, the back of their heads, when no matter who was telling the public what to do, you've got to get a vaccine. It's the only way you're going to get out of this. It's the only way you're going to get out and get any freedom and get to work and go outside. And they made you know it too, with all the different reports of folk getting locked up or arrested for going into their gardens and planting vegetables in the spring. You can't do this, you can't do that, yada yada yada. Meanwhile, there's all these reports in every country of the politicians, often in charge of the health parts, going off and doing their own thing and travelling where they want to go and meeting with other people. Tonight, too, I'll put up some YouTubes and even BitChute, too. But one of them is... there's a guy in England who's been dogged about the Bristol hospital there. He put out some videos before how empty it was, nothing was happening. But what's happening now there, and he's going to, and taking his camera with him, is these staged events for the applaud of the nursing staff and the medical teams and first-line responders in hospitals where literally nothing's happening, in areas where folk are dying because they can't get into hospitals for treatment for other things. But you've got this big publicity, like wartime propaganda nonsense. And he goes there, and you see them all lining up. They come out of the car parks. They all meet in the car parks from different places, and they come in and they're all dressed in uniforms and so on. The police are there. The fire brigade gets there too with its hoist and all that. And there's all the teams of fucking uniform, uniform, one form, right? And applauding themselves. And as this guy says, who's across the street filming it, he goes up to the cops and says, how come all of you lot don't do social distancing, but you arrest us for doing it? Because they're all huddled together having a great old time and slapping each other in the back, sort of thing. Complete farce of any logic. It's not meant to be logical. It really isn't. It really isn't, It's wishful thinking, it's magical thinking that they've given you to believe in here. That if you are 2 meters away from someone, then the virus is so intelligent, or so taboo, you put a taboo, a force field around you, a black magic or a white magic, it depends what side you're on, I guess. It depends if you made the virus or something to do with making the virus or making money off it, maybe in black magic. But the white magic is if I keep them 2 meters away from me or just over 6 feet, then this virus, they can't get any closer to me. I mean, sure, it just stops dead in its track. Especially when you've got your magic amulets with you. Do you have them with you? You've got your little bottles of your hand sanitizer, and you've got your mask. You've got to have that mask on your face because all good voodoo ceremonies have masks on their face. So does Eyes Wide Shut, mind you. But here you are. That's your talismans. These are your magic talismans that you've been taught to have with you at all costs. Scrub, 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 and stick that thing on your face there. So once you're protected against the magic out here, right? Even though those face masks really, the micron size to catch, it could catch is inadequate really most of the time. Most of those masks you see, for the size of this particular virus, it'll come through it regardless. where you're breathing it out or breathing it in is going to come through or that. But they know all this stuff. They know this. But you've got to have it with you, even though you're forbidden to have them initially, right? But by the same experts that then demand that you wear them now or you should get fined, right? You understand, you can't please these characters. It's like having a parent who I remember that they used to say that a lot of guys had problems, if especially the mother. You know, the man's got a very significant role to play in raising children, very significant. And she can make or break a child. And the males especially, you know. So if you get an ambivalent mother, the mother who is often, come here, and then other times just furious, like a manic, and just furious, go away, and whack, you know. That guy is going to be really screwed up with relationships for the rest of his life. Come here, go away. Yeah? That's what it's like with this whole thing. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask, snap, 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 you know. And there's the cops ready to jump on people quite happily and eagerly to jump on folk that are disobeying the magic laws. Hmm? And it isn't until I sat and really thought a lot about what's happening. Because from the beginning it was all wrong. So you don't quarantine the healthy people. You don't destroy the economy unless you're going to bring in a whole new system. And bingo, that's exactly what it was for. There's no other reason for this. And right off the bat, too, they said, oh, there could be another spike in the late fall when winter is about to come in. Well, they're going to guarantee it's going to happen. Because a lot of folk won't have had, even knowing or unknowingly, this virus if they've been locked down. You haven't created the 80% herd immunity that normally would have happened. You've got to have at least 80%, they claim, for it to start fading off big time, for good. Because once folk have had it, they can't pass it on to anybody else. You've got antibodies, the thing dies off in your body or it goes inactive, and you're not a spreader anymore, you see. But by locking folk down, and keeping the children, who are great spreaders of these things, separate from people, and again, stop them going to school, then you're going to get a spike. You're pretty well guaranteed a spike. And that's just how I thought about it at the very beginning. I thought, you know, they may play this way, and then come down and say, well, we gave you a little bit of temporary freedom in the summer. And that's right with their playbook to their manual for how we handle this, right? From their test that they're going to do, event 201, etc. The people would start to rebel a bit. So you know, loosen up a little bit and give them a little bit of freedom in the summer. Then, of course, you know, if it spikes again in the fall, you're locked down again. And they'll show you more horrific pictures. I'm sure they've got even better stuff refined now. Now they've got more con artists on board with them who can really do some amazing stuff with film, you know, and video. So we're living through an incredible script, and there's no doubt about it. I when 9/11 happened, nothing made sense. Nothing that was put out made sense right off the bat. I mean, the dust hadn't cleared from the towers coming down. When the voice went out, it was Osama bin Laden. It was, you know, immediately. That's who you were told. Meanwhile, you find afterwards they already had the military ready to go in to Afghanistan months before 9/11 happened. And then as they went through Afghanistan, they were already changing the size into Iraq. It was Saddam Hussein. It had nothing to do with it. It didn't make any difference. But what you saw then was the same kind of thing. All the same spokespeople on TV every day. And Rumsfeld and Cheney and Bush all repeating the same stuff, and whatever general they brought forward, the same stuff. weapons of mass destruction, blah, 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 fuzzy pictures, and all the rest of it. It was incredible. But you saw that complete sworn determination. And I mean sworn. They put their hands together and hold it, and they swear on each other's lives to go through with this thing to the bitter end, regardless of what happens. And you're seeing the same thing now from the top health experts, with the heads of even U.S. states, that come out and just adamant to go along with the whole darn thing, regardless of herd immunity building up. That's why the spike dropped off now, right? After you get a spike now and it drops right down again. That's standard. You find that even with flu seasons. That's what happens. But there's still a lot of people who haven't been exposed yet, I'm pretty sure. And they know it too, because this first time ever lockdown on the people. So they can't get the herd immunity. So it'll spike again, come the cooler weather once again, and they'll be quite happy. And then they hope to have their vaccine ready to mandate into your bloodstream. I laugh at it too. They say, well, does it go into the blood? Well, it's not supposed to go. Maybe it's no difference if you stick it into your body. I don't care if it goes into interstitial tissue and into lymphatic fluid. It's going to get in. It's going to get into your bloodstream. That's where it goes, folks, you know. So again, it's a big business plan, and you're living through one. Your whole life has been living through a big business plan. 9/11 had to happen to bring in the whole martial law type system and end of freedom, even freedom of thoughts. Now you're completely policed with your thoughts on the internet now, because you put all your thoughts out there, and all your chit chat too, on your texting and in your phones, everything. They've built whole areas that like towns, size of towns, in the States and elsewhere, to house the data, the trillions and trillions of gigs of data they collect all the time, every day and week and month and year, on all of us. And this isn't temporary stuff. I can remember how they launched it when 9/11 happened. Well, you know, we're only going to keep this certain type of data here for maybe a month or so, or 2 months, or 6 months at the most. And as time went on, we've got to keep this longer. Well, nothing gets ditched, folks. And unfortunately, the people adapt to it. That's what's so interesting. They know this too, the studies on the public. Oh, you adapt. Like Darwinian, adapt or die, eh? And that's what they tell you. You've got to adapt to this, and you've got to adapt to having no rights, no freedoms, and being spied upon and monitored, and then branded with Bill Gates' special tattoo. You know, his little Luciferous tattoo. Isn't that wonderful? A complete record of vaccinations, because you're a product, but they've got other products to pump into you annually. And this consent thing is just annoying, isn't it? Look at Dershowitz, Alan Dershowitz. You've all seen, and I'll put up again the clip where he talks about you're going to get this thing whether you like it or not, and the military is going to force you to do it, yada, yada, yada. He's talking like a tyrant. And you're looking at people, you better stop. You better stop. And put in their place right off the bat. But you're looking at tyrants here, folks. You really are. They're so arrogant in the height of their status. And they've been pampered and spoiled for. They really believe that all you little peons are little creatures, you're little farm animals, you know. And guys like him have the right to dictate how you're going to behave, eh? This is the guy that was allocated to try and get Epstein off. These things in common with Bill Clinton, you know. They all have, mind you, with Epstein. And even Gates apparently knew Epstein as well. Small world, isn't it? Eh? But you think about it, Dershowitz... He also tried to put a motion through. He stopped the investigation into him because I think it was Ms. Roberts, is it? one of the people who was getting used by as basically a prostitute for the high and mighty by Epstein. I think she had a lawsuit against him too, or he was at least mentioned. Dershowitz was mentioned in the same kind of thing for sexual massages, and Dershowitz, I think, said he was like Bill Clinton. See, Bill Clinton was caught in a similar kind of thing in the Oval Office. Oval is a rather maybe a bad word for it, but he did a thing with cigars, apparently, Bill Clinton, with a woman, you know, and we all know the story. Bill Clinton smoked marijuana, but he said he didn't inhale, right? And Dershowitz had a massage, you see, but he didn't take his underwear off and didn't have sex. So they got things in common, you see. One didn't inhale, one didn't have sex and kept his drawers on. These are the characters who, through some strange way, have got incredible power over society, and this again deep state that's referred to as the real power behind governments, and they really believe they're the kingpins, even though say there's people above them too. The ones above them don't do any work at all. They don't have to. They make suggestions once in a while, but they don't say how to do things or whatever. They just make suggestions, and things are done by the peons below them, you see. But you better believe it, when you see the faces on these characters, you're looking, you begin to see the faces down that you've seen down through the eons, where it's a Caligula, or a Nero, or folk who are in charge of mass slaughtering, down through the ages, right up through the 20th century, and the Bolshevik Revolution as well, and incredible slaughtering. 60 to 80 million people during its time, right? Slaughtered horribly too, wasn't it? Lenin said, don't just kill them, you've got to put a show of horror and terror onto the public. And there's another thing they always do, they always let prisoners out during the revolution, right? When they start a revolution. The French did that with the Bastille. And they even let the Marquis de Sade out, of course. Before that, the Marquis de Sade, you know how he talked to him? You know how he talked to the people outside the Bastille? It was a tube that he had to wee-wee in, you see. I'm being very polite here. And but that's what he used to yell down to the public as well. So even that's highly symbolic, how he got his message to the public. But the Marquis de Sade was let loose too, to bring in more chaos, if possible. The reason he was put in prison was his incredible perverted attitude to everything. No one was safe around him, of any gender or any age, for that matter. But they let him loose, and they always do that. And, then the Bolshevik did the same thing. They let the murderers and rapists out to cause mayhem, but they also employed a lot of them, gave them full rein for the raid and attack. They get full rein to do what they want to do. And Lenin had people literally disemboweled, and they taught, this is a popular way to do it, especially in the rural areas. And he sent these gangs out. They would take the one or two members of, say, local councils or people who were just looked up to, like unofficial officials in little towns and villages and so on, and to make an example. Didn't matter if they're going to comply with you or not, make no difference. Just make examples of the high and mighty, even if it's just a peasant with less patches on his clothing. And disembowel them and put a part of the intestine around the lampposts or any post and make them walk round and disembowel themselves in circles around the post. That's I'm not kidding you. There's even photographs that have been done. These are the wonderful people who brought civilization, another great leap forward for humanity, with a new way of living again. But they always bring you revolutions, and we're in one now, folks. You either nip it in the bud now, or just comply. Just comply. It's the same characters. the same formula. Why do you think let the prisoners out? Huh? They do this when they're launching a revolution. And when you look at the whole agenda the Rockefellers put out, the scenarios for the future, it's a revolution into technology and a new way of living, and experts ruling everything of your life from birth to death. Something we've all talked about for years and years and years, at least I have. And here it goes. Same thing. And then, of course, the ones who get let loose create more mayhem in society until the folk demand the police to do something about it, and the police get more new powers, you see. It's all been done before over and over again. But when you see the faces, like the Dershowitzes, saying what you're going to get, whether you like it or not, blah, blah, blah. And people in Britain are doing the same thing too, because they're all going to get mightily. Do you think they're not going to get paid for this in one way or another? Do you really think that? I really don't think we've had such blatant corruption showing itself. Almost, not before. We saw it in 9/11. We saw it with the whole agenda with Bush and the PNAC group before 9/11 and after. Yeah. In fact, little Georgie said after, he said once he got out, and Obama, he said if the public had known what we were up to, he said they'd have chased us down the roads with ropes in their hands. That's what he said. Again, it's a one for all for one. So they can never back down, and one cannot break. None of them can break, you see. If anybody breaks confidence that they've sworn on these things, their lives are in danger. Absolutely, that's how it works amongst these kind of societies, these groups. And that's how it's done. So you let the prisoners go loose. Mayhem's created. You tell the police, same thing by the way, not to go after them. And what were the police told right off the bat in every country? Let them out, the prisoners, the prisons. Don't bring them to trial for a lot of the new cases. Don't even respond to what are now, or even if you catch them, as more minor infractions of the of crime. Just let them go. That's what's happening now, eh? But the cops are going to be after you if you're not social distancing, or if you've stopped longer than 5 or 10 minutes for a rest on the way to get some groceries, etc., etc., etc. This is a real training exercise on the general public. Nothing to do with what you think it is, obviously. Because if it was all above board, you would not be letting prisoners loose. And you would be arresting them for committing crimes in the streets when you catch them. And you would not be letting them go. And our thing too is, you see, reinventing government has been talked about for years and years and years. Reinventing government. There's also reinventing governance. Look at the CFR. You can look into their Foreign Affairs magazine. They've been telling you for years where they want to take the world. They have a big group in Canada here in Ontario. The ex-prime minister is working with it too, or ex-deputy prime minister is working with them too. The guys who brought you the Fortress America were going to join into one system, to save us all against terrorism, they said. They didn't tell us that once you're in Fortress America, you're now locked up with the terrorists. And the terrorists are the guys that bring you all the agendas, and they sign agreements for amalgamating countries, which they drafted up themselves too, just like the European Union. Long story about that. But anyway, what I'm saying here is, you've got to understand that you're living through just the next part of the agenda. There's no doubt about it. No doubt whatsoever. And there's some comedy there too. Of course, though, apart from the folk literally thinking a virus just knows to stop, don't go further than that 6 feet, for goodness sake. It's an intelligent virus. And as I say, you're wearing your amulets and your talismans and your your face mask there, and you've got your hand sanitizer, eh? Some folk have little spray bottles to take with them to spray in front of them. Might kill everything that before it hits them. It might kill things in the air, you see. It might be good against mosquitoes, though. I've got them back out here already in Canada, where I am here. But when you look at the comedies where you were told not to wear masks, eh? Well, only doctors, remember that? You've got the same article, they haven't disappeared yet, that the media was telling, the same mainstream media that was getting totally ignored for years because they were so corrupt and awful that no one believed them anymore until this happened. And back again, through horror, you're back tuned in it. Well, they might tell us something important for survival, and they're making hay off it. And again, in January, it was a small size who were reporting what was happening in China and saying this is going to come here. Because you know how many Chinese students are across the universities of the planet? Huh? This is with one thing, never mind all the other travelling back and forth to China constantly, every week. So the small side, this is going to happen here. But the professionals and the media, oh no, even Fauci said, oh, nothing to worry about in January. Yeah. The Americans don't have to worry about it. And then, as I say, they told you, well, only doctors, they said, only doctors should wear face masks. I guess you're back in the world of magic, eh? You see? Because when the viruses are heading towards that doctor and they see a mask on his, they'll know that he's a doctor and to go around him and don't go right to the mask. But if you as a peasant wear that mask, you see, it isn't going to take any notice of you because you're a peasant. That's what they're telling you. It's magic, you see. Absolute magic. And then, of course, then the mandate, you got to wear a mask after you know, almost clubbing to death folk, when the cops find them, that have masks on. Now, of course, when they club you to death, if you take it off, right? Or you have, whichever, you can't keep up with it anymore. Should you have it on, should it off, eh? You don't know anymore. Magic. And the same magic you'll find with the virologists. Have you noticed that? It's like Wiccanism. It's like white magic and black magic, you see. Because now you have top virologists, and by that I mean the ones who actually worked in labs, laboratories. There's other ones who are top virologists to do a study and the bio effects of it through graphics and so on, who do the detailing of it, like the Neil Ferguson, the guy who... But again, Neil Ferguson, honestly, if you have got a dispute with the government for back taxes that they owe you, right, get him. He'll get millions for you. He doesn't like small. He'll get millions for you, and you'll be okay there. Make sure you do that now. He'll put it through his computer program, and that $150 or pounds that you owned, that's going to turn into millions instantly, guaranteed. So you have those guys too, you see, that are with their computer modeling, with their gods, the computer, and I've trained the public that computer are gods. A computer can't think. A computer has no common sense. Huh? But they've trained you to believe it. What does the computer say? Astonishing. So yeah, you white magicians and black magicians. And some of them worked in the labs who've come out openly telling you that this thing really is going to die away like other viruses before, annual viruses. And herd immunity is going to literally take a good hold and it'll just die away. You might get a few folk next year that'll be an appearance, but most folk, once you get a certain amount of herd immunity, it can't take hold, you see. And so they're the good magicians. They're the ones that are telling you that, you see. They worked in labs And that also means they did a lot of testing. They use animals to test. If they get their hands on humans, they will, with volunteers for vaccines. But they worked in labs, and they make these different things, so they know what they're talking about. And I'll put up some YouTubes to that tonight as well. Where one woman from Ireland worked in some top laboratories, level 3 or 4, and she knows what she's talking about, and she's more optimistic and so on, and shooting holes through the stuff you're getting fed right now. And then you get the other ones too that they're terrified of who've also worked in laboratories. But when they cut up animals and things, they do it with hating them, you see. The good folk are the white magicians that pat the animals in the head before they dissect them, you see. I think the whole field is incredibly corrupt. The modern field. And with these laboratories, with the gain of functions, these things started off for the military in the first place, combined with vaccine makers, because they can make a fortune if they can start to perhaps discover new types of viruses, and if they can guarantee annual outbreaks of whatever, then and get vaccines for it, then it's big money, you know. Quite something, isn't it? And as I said last week, it's like Hubble Bubble, you know, tall and trouble. And when you look at the different parts they put into some of these vaccines, it's not much different. I'm not kidding you. Really, it's black, again, black magic, white magic. So what side are you on? And, you know, Fauci himself, as I say, I'm pretty sure these characters at the top are all connected with the CIA. You have to be. You have to be. You don't get into that field working with these top labs. He was picked up early on working for the right of medical school, really, and for government finance departments for this kind of thing, which really was CIA, covert operations. Britain, years and years ago, back in maybe the 70s, did an expose of what happened in Britain with the CIA operatives that had left behind them. Different cages. They'd vamoosed out of the country of Britain, but they could tell by the residues and so on. They'd literally been testing things in rats in London and apartments, actually basement apartments which they're renting, and to release things if it became necessary to release things because of disease in England. If the Russians were taking a hold in the country or coming over, so they were going to release pandemics or plagues in Britain that would eventually hit the... I'm not kidding you. That was a... I don't know if it was a panorama. It was a special. It was either that or a kind of 60 Minutes type thing, like Man Alive. But yeah, it was done way back then. And they showed you the cages and the debris that had been tested for what the occupants had been and so on. And that's what they concluded, and they knew it was like CIA type thing. So the CIA has always been involved with biowarfare, obviously, from their own writings in the past, down through history. And you find it with Canada too. Canada was right up there with biowarfare. Deadly Allies, Canada's secret war. 1940s onwards, in fact, I think the Connaught laboratories that eventually went under after it was exposed that they were buying the tainted blood that Clinton allowed to be sold. They killed off a lot of the hemophiliacs from the blood products, tainted blood products, because they were using prisoners with HIV and everything, and knowingly, and selling it for blood products for hemophiliacs and so on. So pretty well, Connaught Laboratories was buying them at the time. And they actually caught them on TV at the time when that happened. I think it was 60 Minutes or maybe the National for CBC, whoever it was. They caught the main purchaser going up the steps to the laboratory, I guess it was. And they asked him, you know, they said to him, but you knew what you were buying, and and what it was going to do to the public. He says, and the man said, this is what did the man, eh? He finished off the laboratory. He says, it's business, it's just business, he says. And that's how a psychopath answers you. Just business, no mind all thousands of folk that died of the stuff, the tainted blood. But you see, from a eugenics point of view, he was a good man for doing what he did, because he killed off what they would say were the weaker or infirm, eh? People with maybe congenital problems and other problems, the unfit is like to call them. But you slowly start seeing things in a different way here, especially when you have the big boys out right now from the Eugenics Society and Population Matters, openly again. The same groups that go to the World Economic Forum and the Club of Rome, who are all mixed with the WHO, that these folk all know each other. They're all part of the same sustainability program. So they're going to help you and vaccinate you. And as Bill Gates said himself, it'll bring down the population maybe 10 to 15%. But wait a minute here, eh? And Gates also said it might kill this particular vaccine, whatever they get it right, you know, it might kill 700,000 people across the world. Really? Really? Oh. You better start seeing things as they really are here. The disgusting way that the elderly have been treated during this whole thing is purely eugenics. Canada was more open about it. With bioethics, see, bioethics now, in an atheist society where scientists are now in charge, supposedly, and technocrats, it's all dollars and cents, and they can't just fork out cash to keep you alive if you're over a certain age, and you're not very important, you're not a somebody, you see. Even the pretend it's equal, no, it's not equal at all. The arrogance of class distinction is incredible. When you go into the scientific communities, the more degrees they've got, the hottier they are. And the noses go higher and higher in the air, you know, as they sniff down at the peasants below them. That's the truth of it, folks. The arrogance in academia is phenomenal. And once you get a group of these people together, discussing eugenics, you better hope that you're a somebody, because they have their way. You'll be written off quite simply and easily. And they had it in Canada too. I did the articles here. I read them here, and I mentioned them. And I've still got them. What they said, what they think now. You see, that is bioethics running the show. If this gets really bad, who's going to live and who's going to die and who's going to get allocated to medication, who won't be, etc. And as getting you all ready for it, your life is less value of this person over here. That's what runs the countries now, eh? Your medical systems. In the States is a bit more of an advantage, because even though they want that there, and if you're just a peasant and you have no real insurance, and it's one of these Medicare aid programs, which the state might sponsor for those at the bottom, they're still going to write you off. But if you've got a good insurance policy, well, they're going to do all they can to try to keep you alive. It's just astonishing what's happening, and the folk are unaware of it, because they're not putting that across every day on the television, are they? They're putting Mr. Fauci, you know, who I didn't vote for. And yet even Canada's following his advice, eh? And the World Health Organization's advice, the most far-left organization on the planet, the United Nations, and the WHO, and is totally involved with the Department of Population. It used to be called the Department of Population Control, that was set up by Rockefeller, who funded it for the UN, by the way, that department. And you've got Bill Gates literally running the WHO, because if you can't understand, you've got a cabal of people here who somehow have been very highly organized, and they've got a mandate to work with each other.